everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Driving with Randy. How is everybody doing today? My name is Road Rage Randy, and this is the Driving with Randy podcast, a podcast I started over 3 years ago from my 2007 Toyota Sienna Silver Edition. We are currently in a 2018 Subaru Forester Black Edition. How is everybody doing today? I hope you guys had a wonderful and safe 4th of July. I hope the week has been great for you guys. I think first and foremost, I should go ahead and apologize. I didn't get an episode out last week. I was, I definitely could have. I've kind of had some creative block as far as what I need to discuss, what I'm going to talk about, and my mind was also in other places that we're going to discuss here today. I'm eating, but I'm also driving. We're on our way to I had to go to the bypass lane there. So I thought there is no better way to discuss my race that I had last Saturday than to go out to the state park itself and go for a little walk. So I am almost halfway there. We are almost on state park property. I just thought that there'd be another way to discuss it. Those of you guys know, if you've been tuning in for the podcast for quite some time, you'll know that I had three races on the schedule this year. Race one didn't go as planned. I had to drop to the 20 miler, but I gained a lot of experience, and I think overall that was a smart and good decision. And then I took away a lot from training up to that point, as well as actually being out there and, you know, doing my own thing. So I signed up for this race June 1st, and the race was July 1st, a day before my birthday. And I did my longest, I think one of the biggest takeaways is I did my longest run 5 weeks out, whereas I did my longest run 2 weeks out. Typically when people run, most training plans have you 2 weeks out from your race day of doing your longest run. And for me, that just, I don't recover quick enough for that to be a thing. So I opted for 5 weeks out, and then 2 weeks out I will do my hardest session as far as pace and distance. So what I did was 5 weeks out I ran, the objective was 5 miles, or 5 hours at 5 miles per hour for a total of 25 miles. I ended up doing 26 and a half miles in that 5 hour span. So I was ahead of my pace, which is good. That's, I didn't hurt myself. Things were great. The next week, I went biking. I took it kind of easy, but that's when the fucking problem started to arise. I think what happened was I went biking. I haven't been biking too much lately. And when I bike, I don't wear my zero drop shoes. I wear something that has a toe box that's a little too tight, I think. And what ended up happening was when I'm climbing hills, I was forcing my pinky toe in, and then I was putting unnecessary pressure on the rest of my foot, and I ended up triggering my peroneal nerve, which is the nerve that kind of runs on the outside of your leg. So I guess going into the weeks leading up to it, I was still running. It wasn't painful per se. It was just, it was definitely a sensation, an uncomfortable sensation. I had some pretty hard runs. I did runs in the peak of the heat to train for heat adaptation. One day I went out, I think it was like 95 degrees out, and I went out peak of the day, did 7 miles hard. Like, I was dehydrated as a motherfucker after that. Was it needed? Fuck yeah, it was. It was hot as shit July 1st. 79 people DNF'd. 79 people did not finish the race. The heat was brutal. There was people puking. There was, I mean, my brother's friend did the race. He went out, he did the first lap about 45 minutes quicker than I did, and I ended up passing him later on in the race. The heat had a lot of people walking. It was brutal. But with that being said, I was not one of the individuals that DNF'd. I did go into this race a lot more beat up than I wanted to. I don't know if some of it, well, I'm sure a lot of it was in my head, but a lot of it is just actual reality. Is I have some injuries I gotta work out. Which I think comes down to imbalances. I think my hip flexor is causing this one. Because when I stretch my hip flexor, it seems to help clear things up. So I'm going to work on, I'm going to incorporate some strength. I need to basically get into this next fucking race in October feeling how I want to feel. Because I obviously have not been able to do that thus far. All right, is this car? Huh. I don't know how this car is gonna. Dang, she's cute. Anyways, what was I getting at? Something about this race. So I went into this race. I was in my head most of the week. The week prior, I was like, all right, I'm going into this injured once again, but it's not too bad. Like, I've ran 16 miles on it hard, and it doesn't affect it any more than if I'm standing still. It's just gonna feel discomforting. I'll be able to get through it. And then the week of the race came, and I got in my head, and I'm like, God, I'm gonna end up DNFing. This is gonna fucking blow. With that being said, race day, I got up at 4:30 a.m. My dad greeted me with a good luck. He was going fishing, so he was up at that hour too. And actually Thursday, he gave me a new headband or bandana and said, I thought you could wear this during your race. I'm like, fuck yeah, it looks so sick. It's got like blue lightning on it. So I wake up, I do my thing, I pack my car, I got a lot of shit. Like, I had an obnoxious amount of shit that I packed in the car. Like, all my nutrition, my vest, change of clothes. You can't park there. You can't park on the side of these roads. You can't do that. He's actually just like not in his car either. You just can't do that. There's signs everywhere that say no parking on the side of the road. So I get up. I'm taking this exact same route right here. I got here before they put cones up. They coned off a couple of the parking lots. So basically how it went down was there was two paths. There's two parking lots, basically. They have an overflow lot that would require you to walk a half a mile uphill and then walk a half mile downhill. And I'm like, I am about to run 50K. I'm just not fucking doing that. So I got here nice and early. Check-in started at 5 a.m. I thought, let's just get there right away. Race start, or race briefing, 6:15. And race start, 6:30. So I get here probably 5:05 a.m. I get a nice parking spot, one of my usual parking spots. I check in, I get my bib, put my bib on, pack my bag, and I just sit there and I have to hype myself up. And like I said, I was in my head. I was like, God, where the fuck am I parking today? So I normally park in that spot, but a guy is there. Is my second parking spot full? My second parking spot is open. All right, we'll park here. There was a deer chilling in my parking spot the other day. I've got my own parking spots, like where I want to park, where I feel comfortable parking. So I get here, I'm listening to music. Same hype up music that I listened to the day before, or on the 20 miler. I had the exact same meal the night before as well. All right, we have arrived. So I've been eating and drinking on my way here, but I didn't get it all down, so we're gonna chow this down real quick. I didn't finish, but it's close enough. So I get here. What am I doing? I gotta put my... We're running low on batteries. This is gonna be an adventure. I hope the wind isn't too bad, though, for this stuff. Oh yeah, that's gonna be interesting to put on the. I'm not editing this. Oh, the mic completely. So I have a little clip that the mic attached to. It apparently that broke. How the fuck did this? Well, it clips on like this. All right. I think we're back in action. Amateur podcaster. Now, you know, most of the professional podcasters, they would, do what they do, edit, but not me. Road Rage Randy? Fuck no. I gotta change my shoes is what I gotta do. I went through like this exact same routine Friday, same meal. It's bacon loaded mac and cheese. Fucking delicious. And then I actually had some spicy chicken penne as well, which basically just loading up on carbs. And then this one, I had two pieces of carrot cake. Carrot cake is my weakness. So the day after the race, it was my birthday. I had my mom make carrot cake, but I bought some carrot cake from the gas station. I don't know what it is. It's my mental comfort or what it was for these races, but that's like my, all right, we've had good nutrition, we've been training well, we've been doing everything right. How about we have some carrot cake and enjoy. All right, I'm ready. Let me start my watch. I hope the wind isn't too powerful. We'll lock the car up. And we'll put get our bag all situated. We got these new Black Diamond trekking poles.
we're going to talk about these trekking poles. So let's see, how do I, oh, there's a switch. All right. I had to put the podcasting thing on hold because I know it, it's going to go in my bag. All right, we're ready. Let's go and let's chat. So I got these trekking poles for, sorry, that was a whole lot of nonsense. I hope you guys are still with me. I got these trekking poles, early birthday gift from both my grandmas and my parents. My old ones broke ahead of the race, and I said, I'm not dealing with these $20 poles anymore. I'm going to get nice fancy ones. And I love these things. They worked so beautiful. Anyway, so I get out of my car, 6:10, I believe I sent my last text message, and I decided in the car, I was very much in my head. I was thinking, my leg is not feeling good, which it wasn't. It wasn't feeling good at all. And I said to myself, I need to switch my attitude because right now it's really negative and I'm about to go embark on a possible 31-mile journey. I need to have a good mindset. So the last message I sent at 6:10 to one of my buddies was, my body feels like shit. My legs feel like shit. But if I'm going to DNF, I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. And that's kind of the mindset I went in with from there. It was, if I'm here, I'm going to do this, I might as well smile. We're actually at the start line right now. This is where it all started. So I sent my mom, dad, and my aunt a text message with my bib number so they could track me. Yeah, it was fucking awesome. We get started. So in the beginning, I'm used to using the trekking poles. I love the trekking poles. Some runners don't like the poles. I don't know. Something about them just, I like them. But when there's 300 people at a start line, you don't get to really use them. So what most people were doing was, they whipped out the poles for the second lap, like they had them in their drop bag. Because, you know, once you get 10, 12 miles in, you kind of start spacing out a little bit. You're not in a giant group of people. I just did what I could. You know, one of the biggest tips someone gave me was run your own race. Don't, you know, try to keep up with someone, or if you want to walk a mile in, just fucking walk. So I tried to stick to my game plan. I used the poles as much as I could on the first hill. I think it wasn't until about halfway through that first lap when I kind of spread out a little bit from other people and was able to use my poles a little more. The first uphill, so we're like a mile and a half in, and I said to the girl in front of me, I said, this is going to be a long day. I'm already hot as shit. Now, that part is very, very exposed, so the sun was hitting, but again, it's like 6:45 a.m. It's just not that hot. It was definitely hot, but it was only gonna get hotter from there. We're about probably just over the 2 mile mark, and the lady in front of me actually went down, face planted, and slid 25 feet. It was downhill, and she was a little beat up, but, you know, she got up right away and just kept running. I didn't want to ask her about it. I mean, she's obviously running, so I don't know. You just don't want to bring up, like, How you feeling? How them legs feeling? Because sometimes the last thing they're trying to think about is what just happened. The lady probably just not wanting to think about the fact that she just fell and slid halfway down the hill. She didn't look like she was bleeding or anything, and she was still ahead of me, so it wasn't that big of an issue. What's the first, anything significant happen? No, the first lap, I mean, I just kept telling myself, like, obviously it was still in my head about how these legs were feeling. Just kept telling myself they don't feel any worse than they did at the beginning of the day. And that kind of continued for 10, 12 miles or so. Just like, all right, we're doing really good. I got to, I think, oh, my biggest mistake on lap one, there's this prairie section. So they had 6 aid stations. Well, I think technically there was 4 aid stations, but you pass a couple of them multiple times. So I passed the aid station at mile, what was that? Maybe 12? No, 13, it'd be 13 in mile 7 maybe? Maybe mile 7. I think it's 7, 13, and then whatever, and I know it's mile 26. But I passed that, I had just about half, I had 2 500 milliliter water bottles that I carry with me, and they were both about half full, so I had about 500 milliliters of water. I figure I can just wait till the next aid station. I don't need to fill them up. Everything will be okay. And that was a mistake. Now, what I am happy about is I made this mistake on the first lap because it really got me thinking, like, if I had made this mistake later in the race when it's 90 degrees out, I would have been one of those people DNFing because you could not go without water. So I ran out of water probably, I think I still had 2-3 miles. So, you know, that's 30 minutes without water in exposed prairie area. That's pretty brutal. Well, I got to the aid station and I said, all right, I need to catch up on the hydration. So I'm going to drink both these bottles. And then there's an aid station maybe 3 miles from now. I'll just refill them. But we got to get on top of this. Otherwise, it's gonna be a long day. So I made that adjustment pretty early. I get done with my first lap. I got to the aid station at 2:52. I originally planned for it to take 3 hours on the first lap. I can run a 2:50 pretty comfortable. But with how my leg was feeling, I really wanted to go out slow, take it easy. And I ended up being a 2:52. I remember looking at my watch probably around mile 10 and just like, I feel like I'm going really slow, like this is effortless right now. But I'm ahead of the pace that I'm shooting for. So I'm like, I'll just keep going, taking it easy. I get to the aid station and my aunt was there, and that was a shocker to me. She, you know, I didn't, the only people I really told were, close, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 of my close friends knew. Otherwise, I didn't tell a lot of people. And unless they listened to the podcast, they didn't know about the plans. And then that aunt, she runs marathons. She just ran a marathon out in Alaska. So she texts me, see how I'm feeling, see how my training's going, that type of thing. And she actually showed up and was out there, and she's like, you need anything? What can I do for you? She just being a good crew member, even though I didn't ask for it. It was awesome to see. She helped me fill my bottles up, and I was in and out of that aid station I had to full redo my pack, and I was out 255, I believe, was when I checked out of the aid station. So about 3 minutes. I do remember standing up. So I had crouched down to fill my bottles. Oh my God, the blood flow was, I was just like, ooh. Little wobbly standing up. But one of the major objectives of this race for me was stay moving. So they have these aid stations, they have chairs. I just wanted to stay moving, keep going, keep moving forward. That is the objective. Because I wanted to bank as much time as I could so that if I end up having to walk, I could walk that second lap. So, you know, the initial goal was to do about a 6 hour. And then when I realized my leg is a lot worse than I thought it was, I kind of switched the objective. It was, we're going to try and run the first 20. If I can run the first 20 and get to the 20 mile mark by 4 hours, I'll be sitting pretty. And I was expecting, honestly, to be a lot more beat up at that 20 mile mark than I was. I was doing really, really good. So I, so mile 22. So I'm back at the aid station. I skipped water on the last time. It's two laps. So about mile 22, I fill up my bottles, and then there's this long hill. This is the longest hill of the race, just because it's kind of like a gradual, it's not too steep initially. It's like a hill that leads into a hill, basically. It's a gradual uphill going into a higher grade hill, like actually climbing hill. So I always plan to just walk the entire thing. It's a long, drug out, 20 minute walk or so. It's almost a mile. I get to the top of that hill. I start running, and we're at about mile 23 and a half, and this is the first time I start cramping up. I knew right then, I said, oh shit. I screamed, motherfucker. I was in pain. My left calf cramped up, and I'm like, all right, we only got 8 miles left. I can just walk it in. I mean, I'm not too concerned. And I gave it about, 2 minutes. It probably felt like 2 minutes. It was probably 30 seconds later. I said to myself, all right, I'm going to try running, or this is just going to be a long, drug out day. So I started running again, and I didn't cramp up. I think what happened was I made an involuntary movement that my body was not used to, and I started cramping up. Now, the biggest problem I think that happened was I had trained for it to be a 6 hour day. I trained for two of my bottles to be electrolytes. So basically the plan is to drink every two water bottles I drink have one bottle of electrolytes. And what ended up happening was I stayed on top of my hydration as far as drinking water, but I didn't have enough electrolytes to go around. So I think what ended up happening was I drank way too much water and kind of got the salts out of my body. I was eating nut rolls. I was eating trail mix. For the first time, it had to have been about mile 20. I had a pickle. They had pickles. That was the best tasting fucking pickle I have ever had. Like, that shit was salty and just like, oh my god, juicy. I was like, I just never understood the pickle hype. And then I have a pickle at mile 18 and I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna have more of these. So every aid station from there on out, I'm like, pickles, where are the pickles at? I had at least two pickles. I know at the last aid station, mile 29, I believe, I took four pickles and just started walking with them and just chowing down. They were so fucking delicious. So I was cramping up mile 23. Now, when you get later in the race, you're kind of with the same people the whole time. Like, you've kind of established your pace, you know exactly where you're at. And I'd been kind of yo-yoing back and forth with this girl. We ran a couple miles together. But it was kind of like I'd start walking, she'd pass me, she'd start walking, and then I'd be running and I'd pass her. And we just kind of had little chats here and there, you know, oh, we'll see you in a little bit. yeah. I would say mile 25, or actually it was probably closer to mile 20. Yeah, probably 25 and a half. We got to this hill and we were going to walk it, and I started talking with her more and told her, hello. Great day out.
Oh yeah.
We're talking a little more and trying to just figure out like what brings her here, because obviously everyone's got some kind of a story on what led them to be here. And she's like, oh, just a marathon runner, road runner that got bored of it, so thought I'd push myself to see what more I can do. I told her I was cramping up back there if she heard me yelling, and she said, I have an extra electrolyte tab I'm not going to use. It's all yours. And the aid stations had these electrolyte pills. I didn't want to take anything that I wasn't sure upon. Now, like, you gotta eat what you train for. So I'm trained to eat regular food, so if someone threw me a rack of ribs, I could fucking eat that and go to town on it. But I didn't want to take anything like that because I didn't know how it would affect me. But she had a noon tab, and me and my dad used those when we were in Arizona, so I know my stomach can handle it. It's just a little more fizzy. So I had about, god, I had 250 milliliters of water left, like not a whole lot. So I popped that sucker in. I was gonna wait to the aid station at mile 26 because it wasn't too far away, but I said, I just got to get this in my system as quick as possible. So I threw it in the small amount of water I had and I just downed it. And the only other time I cramped up was after consuming that. The only other time I cramped up was mile 30 and a half. So there was a couple of us that got to that last aid station, and we said, you know, we looked at our watches and we're like, we can finish sub 6 hour. We can get a 5 hour time. We should push. So there was a couple of us yo-yoing back and forth, really pushing. I gave up on the push about, I knew, so knowing the course, I know what I had left and I know what I'd be capable of, and I knew that last hill was gonna take some time. I just didn't think I had it in me, so I gave up at 5:52, I believe. It was 8 minutes. I just knew I couldn't cover the distance in 8 minutes. The last cramp I had was I was just running. I was booking it. And I hit this tree stump, and to save myself, I had to, you know, my leg kind of involuntarily kicked itself out to try and save me, and ended up cramping up my entire right leg, and I was like, God damn it. And I just kept pushing through it, because I know it's gonna go away, and I'm almost done. Got to that last hill. I passed a couple people. I had my poles, so one guy was like, I'm bringing those next year. He's just a little more prepared for next year, I guess. Not everyone uses poles. Not everyone likes poles. I talked to one girl. She does it, one 100 miler every year. She is training for her sixth 100 miler. And she asked me about my poles, how long it took to get used to them. She says she just cannot get in the swing of things. But if you're doing a 100 miler and you're not using poles, I think you're in pretty good shape. But the poles, they might not make you go quicker, but they definitely help lessen some of the impact and help you with recovery. So she was out here just doing a training run for a Superior 100, which is a lottery system. So she, her first time getting drawn for that. So she was pretty pumped about that. So I end up getting to the top, and I finished at mile 26. There's an aid station at mile 26. My parents came out. My aunt goes, I made your parents come out. And I'm like, oh, hey, mom, hey, dad. And my dad was fishing. After my dad goes, Ed, Your aunt was making me feel like a bad parent for not being there. I didn't expect anybody to be there. I know they support me regardless if they are present or not. I know my mom was pretty excited about tracking me on the tracker. And most importantly, I just didn't want to disrupt their Saturday. If they wanted to go do their thing on a Saturday, heck yeah, I don't want to waste your time. And it's going to be a zoo out here. There's over 1,000 people registered. It's going to be hard to park. So I wasn't expecting them to come out, but it was nice seeing them at the mile 26 mark. And I was moving really good. I remember there's a video my aunt took. She said, how are you feeling? At the 26 mile mark, I said, I'm fucking miserable. And I'm like, I just need a freeze pop and some pickles, and I'll be on my way. And I think I ran an 8 minute mile, 8 minute mile and a half, actually. I booked it out of that aid station and was in the zone. I was ready for these five more miles to be done with. Which is a harder section. It's what we're on right now. I know I'm out in nature right now, but that section is what I was, this section I'm walking currently is the last 5 miles of the, race. So I crossed the finish line at 6:05:19. My aunt was there. My mom and dad were there. I think the hardest part about once I finished was the fact that I'd been moving for 6 hours, and it's like, what do I do now? I just was standing there. My aunt's like, what can I do for you? What's next? I'm like, I need my drop bag and I need food. They had Napoleon style pizza, and I had some margarita pizza, and let me tell you, that pizza tasted so fucking good. Listen, these guys could probably get away with like bagel bite pizzas, and I'm sure everyone would be like, this is a 5-star meal because you just get done running. Pizza just hit the spot. I had pizza, I had a bunch of watermelon, ginger ale, and I went to go find a spot to sit. I had quite a few friends that were running the 25K. I didn't see them. One of the guys was actually out there to cheer on the 50K start. Shout out Aaron. I met him out here a few weeks back, and we've been talking a little bit. He was going for a 25K record. I had a couple friends out there, and I'm just like, I need a spot with shade. So I find this place that, you know, all four of us can sit, and I put my food down, and I'm right across from one of the guys that I message on Messenger. I'm like, Greg, how'd it go? He's like, oh, hey, man. Greg's birthday, he ran a PR out here for the 50K. I think he ran a 5-hour and 32 minute. I've done a couple training runs with him. He's from a local group, but talking with him more, it's pretty cool. He seems to really get the same vibe from the group that we've met through. Just, he doesn't chill with them too much. Different kind of a pace, different kind of an environment, and me and him are kind of in the same mindset as far as we're here to have fun, but to us, 13 minute miles isn't necessarily fun. That's just a walk in the park. So we both kind of incorporate the group in a way that is, we're just trying to get some extra miles in, and we meet up with them a bit for some company, and then we get right back to the grind. So that's how him and I met. We met back in the winter time, and he was right there in front of me, and he ran a PR, which is pretty fucking awesome. Everyone that posted their run on Strava talked about the heat. One of the groups I'm in, if you're an ultra runner and you are listening, yeah, I'm a BUA member. I am a Bad Ultra Running Advice member, and I love it. Those guys are my people. They don't take things too seriously, and they just dick around and have themselves a giggle. That's the stuff I like. But one girl posted in there, she's like, I'm one of you guys, my first DNF today. It's kind of a group where they don't they don't want to see the post that's like, ran my PR today. They want to see the post that I decided to not run my marathon and sit here and eat chips instead. Don't have to give reason, but it's just those. That's the kind of group it is. I like it. As much as I like seeing people's accomplishments, it gets everyone has their own goals and missions. I like seeing people's failures, and so do they. Because, you know, a couple weeks from now, they can bounce back and they might have a PR run. We got more people coming up. I'm trying to think of what else there was to share. Nothing. I don't really, the pictures are really fucking cool. The high res photos, we're still waiting on a couple finisher photos and stuff of that nature. Hey guys. Good. Hello. Hey guys. Great day out. What am I getting at? So the day, or right after I went home, I ordered a, pizza was just on my mind. I ordered a spicy supreme, pizza from my local pizzeria. Holy shit, was it delicious. Now, I would like to add, I had to wait for the blood to come back in my stomach. Because what happens after long runs is you just shit a lot and a lot and a lot. Like, I couldn't go 30 minutes without having to take a shit. So, I had to wait for it to kind of come back, things to settle down, so that when I ate this spicy pizza, it didn't just come out liquid fire. That was my biggest concern of that matter, was liquid fire. The pizza was so fucking good, though. I'm going to order another one of them. I've been on vacation all week, so I've been kind of just chilling, recovering. For most part, I'm eating relatively healthy, but I've had a lot more snacks than I'd normally have. I think big part of it is just, I'm still recovering. I burned 3,987 calories, I believe, so almost 4K. The race was 31.6 miles, 3,900, just about. It was a little less, like maybe 4 feet or so. 3,900 feet of elevation gain. I'm very, very happy. I'm gonna be working on my imbalances. Like I said, I'm gonna really try and focus on getting my body to 100%, because I don't need to really be putting out too much mileage until just before October. So the first day after recovering, that was my birthday, I woke up, my mom made me breakfast. I went for a 3.4 mile walk that took me an hour and 15 minutes. And there was about 30 feet of elevation gain. There wasn't hills. It was flat. I just was not moving. It was pretty bad. Day two, I went for a walk again, and I think I went for a 5 mile walk. So the legs were like there, but it was still kind of painful. The next day, I think I went for a little bike ride, but I had to stay in my lowest gear because I just had no power to it. And then from there, I've kind of been just back on the grind as far as, I've done a lot. Hey guys, I've done a lot this week. I think, after today's walk, I will have 40 miles walked. I believe I have 62 miles on the bike. And then I have my 31.6 mile run. It's not so much of a stay active and train kind of a thing. It's more so trying to get my body to adapt to that kind of volume. So when I sat down after the race, my friend Greg said, "Well, you done the 50K, it's time for a 50 miler. And I said, "I just don't think so." But I was on my way to, where was I? I've been kind of all, I think I was on my way to Stillwater, Minnesota. I've been kind of all over the place this week. I've just been trying to get out and enjoy my time. But I think, well, I said to myself, you know, that just didn't feel that bad. And I wasn't even 100%. I could probably do 50. So I haven't signed up for a 50. I'd like to actually get through a 50K. The objective is to get to 50Ks healthy. Get a hang of that distance. I can't say I have a hang of the distance after 150K. I think, realistically speaking, 50K in those conditions, as far as legs not feeling 100% and the heat, under those conditions, I think a big takeaway is my nutrition is on point. My training is on point. It's just a matter of getting to the race line healthy. And if I'm going to commit to something like a 50 miler, I need to make sure I'm at my A game. So I'm going to finish the year out. Sorry, I'm out of breath. That was a hill. I'm going to finish the year out, do some 50Ks. I know I have the one in October. Going to get healthy for that. And then maybe we'll try and do a December one as well. Maybe we'll make it a destination race where I go travel somewhere and do one. Because I kind of like the idea of going into a course blind, not knowing anything. I think it was an advantage for my first one to really know the course, but I also really want to learn to make adaptations on the fly. And if you know the course, I know exactly where I should conserve energy, where I need to run. If I go into the course semi-blind, I just have the elevation plot and course description to go by. So, we got a lot to learn still, but nonetheless, I'm happy. I'm moving. My left leg is, you know, still functional, but I haven't really put in much time yet to actually fixing it. I'm just trying to let it settle, which it don't seem to be bothering me too much here. This weekend, one of my friends hit me up. Shout out Bryce. Bryce is a sub-3-hour marathoner. He lives about 2 hours south of me. He invited me down, wanted to know if I wanted to go for a little run Sunday morning with him, just spend the night Saturday. So I'm going to go down and see him. Probably stop and see my friend Jake. My friend Jake lives down there as well. I'm in his wedding next year, so I'm down there. I might as well go drop in, say hi if he's not busy. Pretty fucking excited. I'd say I had a really, really good week, and I've really kind of thought about it, and I think I am living life to the best of it. Like, I have been going to concerts, I've been going out of town, I've been really just being social, doing my thing, and enjoying myself, and I have zero fucking complaints. I got people supporting me. I've got good passenger base with you guys just tuning into the podcast each week, which I know I feel like the episodes haven't been too much quality recently, but we're gonna fix that. We're gonna get some quality. I did talk to someone about that, and he gave me some good suggestions as far as how I can overcome having a little bit of a creativity block. I hope you guys enjoyed my race recap. It's definitely something I'll do again. I believe this race gives me UTMB points, which is the giant race that they do over on Mont Blanc. And pretty much hot shit. I don't know what to tell you guys. If you guys want to support the podcast, Venmo, PayPal, link is in the description. Follow me on Twitter. I posted some images of the race. Maybe not. I don't know. If you want to see pictures from the race, let me know. I have them all saved. There's still a couple people, photographers, we're waiting on to post it. And I just hit mile 2. I am about 40 minutes into this, which means I've been talking for over 40 minutes. I've been talking for about 50 minutes, probably, given where I was on the road. I don't want to keep you guys know the drill. Venmo, PayPal, link in description, Twitter, at Thoughts by Randy. I thank you guys very much for tuning into this week's episode of the podcast, and I hope I get to see you guys back next week. If I don't, hope you guys have a wonderful life. Peace. That's right, disturbing the nature. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Peace.